And I said in my, to myself, God, if that's what you want her to do, we going to work at it. In my family, we were always taught, you can be anything that you can put your mind to. And so I decided that I was going to help her be what she wanted to be.
Welcome to the Raising the STEAM podcast, hosted by M. Ross, where we're dedicated to raising the STEAM leaders of tomorrow. Discover inspiring stories, lessons learned, and actionable insights from the worlds of science, technology, engineering, art, mathematics, and medicine. Connect with us and a community of dedicated parents, educators, and STEAM supporters at RaisingTheSTEAM.com and at RaisingTheSTEAM on social media. Together, let's ignite curiosity and drive change.
Welcome to the Raising the STEAM podcast. I am your host, M. Ross. Last week, I interviewed my wife, Dr. Adia Ross, and this week, I'm interviewing her mother, Terry Bradley, to make sure everything Adia said was true. Nah, I'm just joking, but I am, in fact, here with my mother-in-law, Terry Bradley, or as we call her in our house, Grandma Terry. How are you doing today, Grandma Terry?
Just wonderful. Just wonderful. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
So why don't we start with you telling us about yourself? Where were you born?
I was born in a little town in Florida called Tarpon Springs. Some people may know it as having a large Greek population, but it's in Florida in Pinellas County. But just a nice little quaint town.
And you grew up in Florida as well, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
All right.
Grew up in Florida. And after I finished my education, went back to Florida and still have a residence there. So I'm a Floridian, one of those few native Floridians.
Yeah, I always like to tease you about your state of Florida with all those interesting things that happen out there.
Oh, yeah, we have some stuff for you now.
Yeah, but shout out to Florida. Some great people come from out of there.
Thank you.
All right, so what career path did you end up taking and why?
Well, I ended up going into social work and actually made my decision to do it when I was in sixth grade.
Mm.
Because there was a young man, his name was Johnny, but we used to call him Boo Boo. And he was an excellent artist, but he had a troubled family life. And back in the day, if you didn't go to school, you were sent to training school. And he didn't have clothes and his family didn't support him, so he was sent off to training school. And his life took spiral down from that.
Mm.
And I decided that I was going to be a social worker and try to prevent things like that from happening. Because I knew him as a child one-on-one. And he was a good and decent kid. He didn't do bad things. He just didn't want to come to school because he didn't have clothes to wear. And so that's kind of what drove me to do that.
Wow. I mean, I've known you for a while now, 15 years maybe, and I hadn't heard that one before. I actually want to get into that a little bit more with you, maybe a little later. But you say you found out about, or you decided to go into social work in the, you said sixth grade or 6 years old?
Sixth grade.
Okay. Do you remember when Adia decided or has showed some interest in becoming a doctor?
Oh, yes. It was a very striking moment for me. She struggled with her having allergies really bad. And I'm a neurotic mother, so I was always trying to find why and what was happening. So I finally got her to an allergist who was a phenomenal physician. And he did what we had to do and finally got her where we knew what she was allergic to and we could prevent it. And we happened to be in a jewelry store. I love jewelry. And she was walking around the display, and she was about four, and she looked up at me and she said, "I am going to be a doctor to make the little children feel better."
Mm.
And it struck my heart because she looked at me with a look that told me that is what she really wanted to do. And I said in my to myself, "God, if that's what you want her to do, we gonna work at it." In my family, we were always taught, you can be anything that you can put your mind to. And so I decided that I was going to help her be what she wanted to be. And her daddy was 100% with it. So that's when we started our work.
So tell me a little bit more about that. What did you do to sort of nurture that desire she had?
Well, again, what we did, excuse me, is I always kept a lot of books. We read stories, and we would go to events in the community, not necessarily related to medicine, but related to moving forward in life, related to a positive impact. There wasn't a whole lot that you say, let's go over here and see about how to be a doctor. It was about, let's go to this and learn about others and how the world works, you know, to teach you how to act in a crowd, how to sit and listen, be interested. And we went to events that the library put on, events in the community that really underscored education and moving up and working hard to move up in the world.
Mm. Okay, that's awesome. Mm. I mean, so you did a lot of things around the community and, you know, exposure to a lot of things. So as far as when she got a little bit older and in school, were there certain extracurricular activities that were more formal that she got involved in? Or
okay. She went to a private school at that point because, to be honest, I don't want to sound negative, but her father worked in the public school system. And at that time, if your parent worked in a public school setting, sometimes children would bully you or take advantage of you because you had a parent in the system and they figured you couldn't do nothing back, you know, to retaliate or whatever. I don't know. But we were both working hard and I figured I didn't have time, to be real honest with you, to be out there going to the schools. I had friends who had to go to the school always trying to mitigate problems that their children had. And I didn't want to spend time like that. So we put her into a private school. And from there, she was involved in reading groups. She was involved in basketball. She did some volunteer work and had a well-rounded and extensive opportunities for different kinds of experiences. They were not necessarily geared toward medicine, just life and living.
Yeah, so, I mean, you kind of bring up a interesting point, something, you know, I think about in the DN, I think about a lot, which is environment. So you kind of sort of alluded to that without saying the word, but the environment that the kids are in, the children are in, how important is that in your opinion?
Oh, I think it's very important. You know, one of the things that I have tried to always emphasize with my children and to practice is to be positive, not hang on to things, not, let me see how to put it, not focus on what you can't do, but focus on what you can do. And it was very, very important that she got a chance to really look at how she could be anything she wanted to be. And that was the most important part of trying to get her into a school that was encouraging her to expand her experiences and stuff. I don't know if that answers your question or not. But
yeah, in your case, so, I mean, you know, I'm sure it wasn't easy for you, but you, you know, you did what you needed to do to make sure she could go to this private school. So in the case of parents who might feel like they necessarily don't necessarily have those resources, how what do you advise to them? What can they do as an alternative?
I think that you got to invest in your children. That means not just money. It wasn't just money. I didn't just send her to school. I invested time. Mm. The key, the important part with, I think, raising a child is investing in them, showing them that they, as an individual, are important. What their needs are in terms of emotional needs, that's important, and that you are interested in where they want to go with life, and that you are willing to go with them. If they had different kinds of events, like down in the city, that dealt with books, authors that were in the area, and we would go down there and talk about the book. It had nothing to do with medicine, mm-hmm. but it had to do with life. Mm. It also meant I spent time with her.
Right.
And if I saw where something in how she was thinking about life did not seem to really register positive, it gave me an opportunity without being fussing or condescending to just talk about it. So it was getting inside of her head about how she thought about things, not telling her what to think, okay? To a great extent, sometimes I did think, but really pointing out different approaches. Mm-hmm. In life. So I thought that was important. Her dad did the same thing.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, like myself, you feel like it's sort of multifaceted. You know, there's the environment piece, mm-hmm. there's that time investment piece, there's that kind of whole person investment. So yes, they need to have that sort of intellectual piece and the stimulation environment, mm-hmm. Et cetera, but then there's the sort of whole person, which comes along with some of those volunteering things you talked about and some of those just exposure to things you talked about. So,
another key too, and this is kind of some people feel uncomfortable talking about it, but you got to be very adamant about the people your children are around.
Right.
I am not talking from our issue of race or any of that. I'm talking about the character of the individuals that your children are around, because all you need is, and you know yourself, when you work on being positive, there's always that little negative thing that can come in and you got to work and tell yourself, no, I'm not going that way. Well, if you don't ensure that 90%, it ain't going to be 100, but 90% of the time, your child is around people who are positive, people who are thinking in a manner that allows for growth and development, and not something that would say, oh, you can't do that, or that is impossible. You know, something, if the child is interested in something positive, oh, well, they won't let you do that. Mm. You can't do that. Mm. You have to really limit that kind of conversation. That I'm talking about it on and on, because that is something I think is a critical aspect of rearing a child. What they hear goes into their mind and that gets caught. And so that was important.
No, absolutely. And that's part of the environment piece I was referring to. And I definitely appreciate that elaboration. And I mean, and it doesn't stop, right? I mean, even when you become an adult, you still have to make sure you're not around those type of folks who are just naysayers on things habitually.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because it all our lives, we have to work on remaining positive. There are so many things out here that can turn you toward a negative stance. But the good part about it, though, that I found is that the more you practice positivity, the easier it is to get back to it when you hear something negative. Mm. The more you will reject the negativity, because it's just like with anything else with your mind. You set pathways, I think, into how you think. And if your pathway is moving forward to positive, it's easier to get back. You know, you build habits. And I find myself working very hard and moving very hard to be positive about the challenges that I face every day.
Absolutely.
You don't ever start that. Stop that. Mm-hmm. But you got to teach your children how to think that way.
Right.
I think that's important.
Because, 100% agree. Yeah.
Because it's easy to give up. It's easy to get beat down. And they don't understand that it's all about flipping it over and thinking another way. Your mind will help you figure out solutions to things. You may not know the exact thing to do, but if you work at it, this is my belief, you can find a way 95% of the time to solve a problem that you have. You have to decide, I am going to make it through this. And you can't accept any excuse. I think about my life growing up, and my parents, we used to always say we don't know how they make it, but my father had multiple sclerosis. Now, think about this. There was no treatment or anything. The thing that saved us most was that we owned our own home. My father built it. And it was a situation where my mother was a maid, so she earned about $5 a day, but we owned our own home. But the key of the whole thing was they would not be beaten. My daddy would say, I felt sorry because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet,
right,
something like that. Well, he was laying flat on his back. He was paralyzed eventually by the time I was 10. But he never said, I'm feeling sorry for myself or why the Lord did this. Mm. And he spent a lot of time teaching me how to think. And that was my saving grace. And my mama showed me she never talked about putting him in a nursing home. She still respected him as a man, and they discussed decisions that they would make in our lives. So that was the other piece of it. It taught me how to be respectful of family and relationships. Hmm. And that was important. And that even though we were really, really poor, we could have pride and we could do positive things. And so, you know, we weren't poor as a lot of people because we owned our own home. We never had to move because somebody was putting us out because of the rent.
Right.
That was one of those things that made a real difference in how we survived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a pretty, deep-rooted, philosophy that sort of got ingrained into you. And so I imagine, you know, you sort of passed some of that down to Adia. And because that process of going through even undergrad to medical school and beyond, it's a pretty grueling process that I was able to witness her go through a lot of the, from the end of, so we met at the end of her medical school, but then residency and all these type of things, and pretty rigorous process. So, I mean, were there any times along that particular path where, you kind of had to talk her down, or do you feel like it was already, okay?
That was this one situation. This is, she my child, so that means that mama has a different perspective on it, but that mama and daddy were sitting there, and she was really upset. That was this professor that had a reputation for really knocking the kids out the saddle when they were going to med school. And she had one class she was struggling with. And I will never forget, her daddy looked at her and told her, no, you will not give up. You will not let this person turn you around. You will make it through this. And if I need to talk to him, I will. But I think you can do this. And so she did. It was a summer class, and she went through it and ended up getting an A. Mm-hmm. But he had beat, the kids, that were about two or three of her classmates that quit under this professor. Mm. But her daddy was, you got to go on. You can't allow this to turn you around. So that's what happened. So yeah, she struggled through it. I was proud of her. She struggled through it. And she, I remember from when she was a little girl in second grade, true story, her teacher told me that she was bossy and that she would take control of things and she could manage people. Now, I'm telling you this, it took second grade, Miss Weatherill. And she said, because if I leave the classroom, and tell Adia that I want something done, when I get back, it's done. She might have got a little of that bossiness from her mama, but I don't know. But anyway, I think that there are gifts that children have, and that's the other piece of spending time with your children. You get to recognize those special gifts that they bring into this world. Adia can order. She can put things into order in terms of setting up systems and stuff like that. She is good with that, can see things. How they go. I like to do that too, but I didn't teach her how to do that. That's something that she got herself. So I don't know, maybe it's hereditary, maybe it's just something else, but she is good at organizing, I think. Of course, I'm her mama. I'm gonna think she good at everything. That's okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like she had a really good foundation set with her parents and the things that, you had experienced and had been ingrained into you that you were able to gift to her. As she got older, were there any actual mentors or physicians or anything that you knew about that were helpful to her in her path?
Not really. In terms of, like I say, the allergists, we still are friends with him today. Mm-hmm. she and he became, she was one of his special patients, and he was her doctor. And they got along, but that was not really a particular physician. There were friends, there were people in the community in general, like people at church and stuff that she talked to and was around. But it wasn't really like, I'll be real honest with you, we didn't do a lot of visiting other than family to people. We spent a lot of time doing stuff together as our family, but we didn't do a lot of visiting of other people. We talked on the phone a lot, but we didn't just, you know, go to people's houses and stuff like that. Again, I always was still working with how much positive and negative information my children got.
Right.
It was really important for me to control, or try to control to a great extent, what they were getting told.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that's one of the really big keys you focused on in her path. Now, just looking back at things in hindsight, what besides that, what do you think are sort of some of the biggest key factors that contributed to her in becoming a doctor ultimately?
I think the encouragement, the support, the acceptance of her desire to be a doctor. That was the never being told she couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If that was something that she needed or felt like she, for instance, she needed to have some, in order to graduate high school, she had to have volunteer experiences in her high school. They wanted them to volunteer. And of course, my daughter wanted the things that she wanted to volunteer in. I had to drive 1,000 miles to get there. She wanted to do, she volunteered at a runaway shelter, and she volunteered at a pediatric AIDS program. And it meant that I had to modify my work schedule to get her to those places. But I told my boss this is what she was doing, and I felt it was important, and that I came in after hours and finished my work so that she could do that, because that was one of the requirements for graduation, and it was a good experience for her, I thought. So.
Yeah, I mean, you dropped a lot of really good nuggets here, really good pieces that, you know, I'm considering how to summarize. I mean, there's so much here to unpack, but I think we're going to go ahead and leave it here for now. But thank you so much. This was actually really awesome, really helpful for folks, I'm sure. So
I hope so.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure of it.
The more children we have energized, the better we are as a world.
That's what I feel as well.
So, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for doing this. And I mean, you know, if you'll come back another time, would definitely love to have you in again on another topic.
Well, you just let me know.
All righty. I hope I got proof. I got video proof that you said you're coming back. So.
Okay. All right. Be blessed.
All right.